Hello guys, Jack here from Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast, and yes, the rumours are true, we're heading back out on tour in May 2024. 68% of the tickets are already sold out, but there are still a few left at Edinburgh, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, Bristol, Bury, and our home city of Norwich. So, don't waste any time, grab your tickets today, and come and watch me, Alfie and Robbie live.
And me.
Mainly me, Alfie and Robbie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
HappyHourLive.co.uk. See you in May. Yes, guys, coming up on the show today is a guest, a very interesting guest, actually.
Very scary guest.
We have Molly Meatball McCann. The meatball herself came to the yellow table. And she called us posh quite a lot, didn't she?
Called us posh a lot.
Yeah.
But then we got to talk about cool things, like a rotating spinning elbows.
You're trying to prove you're not posh. You've just called it a rotating elbow. I love it. We spoke about Molly's early days playing for Liverpool Football Club.
We spoke about how she used to work in Subway.
And how she actually got the name Meatball Molly. And we also finish with a Scouse test as well. We give Molly some things that only Scousers will know, and she explains them to us posh Southerners, doesn't she?
We're not posh, are we?
I think you just called it a rotating elbow.
It's a good ep.
Enjoy this episode with Molly the Meatball McCann. And remember, you can relive Molly's greatest ever knockouts and fights by subscribing to UFC Fight Pass. There's a big fight coming up, Stevie.
There is.
And I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciations, but Dalidze versus Imavov coming up soon.
You smashed it.
Smashed it. Enjoy this ep and then enjoy that fight.
Rotate an elbow.
I'm dead.
We are posh. Jack Mates Happy Hour.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to Jack Mates Happy Hour podcast. Stevie, how you feeling?
I'm absolutely fine. Why are you asking?
We had a few beers last night.
I
turned 31 yesterday. Had a few beers, but we're all good.
Yeah, we're marvellous.
And I've got a little surprise for you coming up later on in the show with our guest, who I'm super, super excited to announce, because today's guest is one of the toughest women in the world, who are some of the most brutal knockouts the UFC has ever seen. It's the bloody brilliant, if not a little bit scary.
Yeah.
The meatball, Molly McCann. How are you?
Ooh, I'm not bad. That was the most southern introduction to a podcast I've ever, ever heard in my life.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
That was good.
That was so just proper Queen's English of you two there.
Well, we're Norfolk boys. We're from Norwich.
Do we sound posh to you?
Oh my God, Delia Smith.
Do we sound posh to you?
Like, so posh.
Oh, fuck. Right, I'm going to try and be a bit...
It's better than being Norfolk, surely.
I want to be a bit
what?
Cool.
It's better than what?
Being Norfolk.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say North, and I was like, lads...
No!
Joke's coming for you now.
Oh, God. I want to try and be a bit cool to impress you. How can I...
be you.
Right, okay.
Just do you.
Just relax, Jack. Yeah. Just relax.
What are you doing?
I'm just relaxed than that with Molly, like, just chilling out.
Just, we've all got hangovers here.
We have. Now, Molly, we always start in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If you could put any item into the Happy Hour Hall of Fame, what would it be? It can be a place, a person, a feeling, a thing. It can be anything. What would you like to put in there?
A Thursday night pint of Guinness. So every Thursday night when I'm not in camp, I have a couple of scoops with the boys. It's normally a business meeting about what we're going to do next week in my restaurant. So what's the specials, what's the shifts, blah, blah, blah. We're going over it all. And we start with, like, we go in and the woman, Jodie, goes, just half each. We go, yeah, because Joel's driving. And then we do that, and then the next one. And then we have two more halves, and then I go, you're going to have to leave the car here, aren't you? And then I'm, like, texting my fiancé, like, hi, love, I'm just... And then I'm just like, please say I'm engaged tomorrow when I get home.
Are you somebody that can tell the difference between a Guinness? Because I hear a lot
yeah.
of... Are you?
How can I explain this to a posh person?
Oh,
I'm taking it as a compliment.
Yeah.
When you can you tell when you close your eyes or not? You can. You can. So yeah. Like, I can tell if my Guinness is nice or not. So the facts are an important pint of Guinness, and the thing is, I've loved Guinness since before. It was a cool Southern thing to do. Like, I feel like if you're trying to be a bit different now, I think it went like, it was Jaeger bombs, and then it was Prosecco, and then it was gin, and now I feel like it's Guinness.
That sounds like your night trajectory. Yeah. That's how you started.
Yeah. Do you go reverse, or is that how you start?
Yeah. Look, in over the last few years, he went from that, you had a gin thing, and now you like the Guinness.
Well, I used to take the piss out of you for liking Guinness. And then
I love Guinness. And he mugged me off for it.
Nice. Packing in.
Do you really think we're posh, don't you?
I really do, yes.
Have you had Forged? Conor McGregor's one? Does it compare?
Yeah, I think it is okay if you get it from the draft. I would never, ever drink a Guinness out of a can. I think it's sacrilege. Even the nitro thing.
Oh, have you tried it?
I knew what I was going to say.
So when we go on the away matches for football, or my mate bought me one because he was like, oh, we want you to come on the coach again, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I can't be drinking like pink gin at like 7 a.m. in the morning. Do you know what I mean? It's like, have Guinness instead. Like, yeah, right. And I couldn't stomach it. It was just not right. But for me, a perfect Guinness, you have to pour it like a bit more or a bit less than 3/4 full. Give it 2 minutes to settle. So you start this way on a tilted cup, let it settle, a glass even, and then that way. If it's not in a Guinness glass, don't even come at me. I'm not drinking it. Like, the shape has to be perfect. And it has to have Guinness on the side because you have to split the G. And then you give it a couple of minutes when it comes to you to settle, because if you go early, the white on the top's still like very lucid. But then if you let it settle, it goes a bit more... It's like tough, and then you go, ooh, and you see if it goes over the edge, and then it doesn't, and then you're like, you're in.
It's like an art.
Oh, absolutely.
Just have a pint. Why are you going for all that admin?
I know, because I know I'm like, one of the boys, but I'm not like, one of the boys, don't you mean? I'm like, just leave me on my Guinness. But do you know like how posh people go and like, get bottles of wine and be like spinning it around and go,
yeah,
and all that.
Sommelier.
I'm like this, look. No. I want that one. Yesterday, when I was in that pub, I said, I watched all of them pull a pint in this moment. Do you want saving? I went, no, not you. That one can. He's like, why? I was like, I'm not into your Guinness.
Fucking hell.
Well, especially being down here. You've like,
I had an awful Guinness last night.
Well, there
you go.
You just know.
Oh, did you?
She poured the whole thing in one go. And it was basically all just brown.
She never.
And I had to wait about 5 minutes for it to look how it should have looked.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Right, that's going in. It's going in. The Thursday night Guinness is going in. Now,
it has to be in an Irish pub as well.
Irish pub, does it?
Poke Mahones, I go. Means
we've
kiss me ass in Irish.
We've got a Poke Mahones in Norwich.
Yeah, is it the same?
In Norwich, yeah.
It's not a chain, no.
For fuck's sake. It's going to be a long hour. Right, let's get into some get-to-know questions to get to know the woman behind the meatball. Whatever that means. Kick us off.
That's what I mean.
I don't know.
Come on, kick in, quick.
Who's your hero?
Oh my God, it's so generic, but my mum.
That's a great shout, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know her, man.
No, I heard what you said in an interview about her. Yeah. Didn't she? She used to suffer from addiction, and then she's over 25 years clean now. Mm-hmm, yeah. She now runs a addiction charity or something.
Yeah, she's
fucking amazing.
Yeah, I think like you grow through what you go through, and to see my mum overcome everything.
Yeah.
Growing up in the 90s, like no one had an easy, maybe in Norwich she's did, but up north it wasn't that easy. But it was hard, you know, like everyone was suffering. And I just remember watching my mum have a voluntary job, chambermaiding, going to college, and she used to work in a restaurant as well, and then taking me to school, bringing me back, making sure I had food, that my clothes were clean, and that I was like doing my homework and stuff. I think we'd always battle back and forth because my life wasn't quite like normal. And I just always felt like it was never enough. I was never doing good enough. And what my mum kind of said, it's not my job to be your friend, it's my job to raise you. And it kills me that we can't just always have fun. She said, but I have to discipline you so that you can be better than me, and you can have more than what I had and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So to see her overcome so much. I don't know, it's just dead inspiring, I suppose. She burns my head out sometimes and I burn her head out, don't mean, because we're so the same.
Yeah.
So it's good the older we get. I think recently when I fought in Las Vegas, we're doing, me and Paddy have got a reality TV show and we was filming at that time, and me and my mum had this conversation, and I verbalised things that I felt about her that I'd never told her before. And she, it's because I'm hungover, I feel like I could cry, but she was just like... And I was like, well, I just hope you know that. And I think she was just like, fucking hell, I've done a good job there.
That's lovely. You know what I mean? So. That's a great answer. I mean, she sounds like a perfect hero. So great answer to that.
She tries.
If you could get a tattoo, if you had to get a tattoo right now.
We're literally maybe going to go after this, to be honest.
Really?
What?
Oh, yeah. And guess what I was going to get?
Go on.
A harp.
The Guinness, harp.
Not the Guinness harp, but the Irish harp.
Right, but mainly harp. For the Guinness. Are you gonna go get it or not?
Well, we was thinking about it.
Yeah.
We literally, my manager told me, we sat there last night and I had to go see some family yesterday, and then I'd done a podcast and the time just didn't work.
Right.
And then we was like, oh, maybe today. It's like, only if they've got the numbing cream. Like, I know I'm a hard girl, but... Like, me and needles just don't go.
And if you've been drinking last night, you'll bleed a lot.
Oh, like...
Yeah.
That's not happening okay. Then, is it?
No, because that's what alcohol thins your blood out. I remember when we...
I only had a few Guinness, lads. I'm not like some pure alky.
Okay, next one.
Injecting gin into me veins and that.
If Liverpool is number one, mm-hmm. what's the second greatest city in England?
It's a 20-minute flight away in Dublin for me.
So not England? No. Nothing else in England?
Yeah, and I'm just... no, I'm
Norwich.
Okay.
No, you're okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just not answering it. Yeah. No.
Dublin is great, though. To
Dublin is good.
Dublin is great.
Dublin is good. Yeah. Who's the most famous person in your phone book? Too many?
There's a few. I think Wayne Rooney.
Oh, great shout. What a player. What a player. Great shout. And finally, Stevie.
We heard that you still write a gratitude journal.
Oh my God, I was going to say a rap then. I was like, I don't want to swear.
That makes it sound like you do.
Have you?
Only in the shower.
You rap in the shower?
Well, I rap. Who doesn't rap in the shower?
Me?
What are you rapping?
Norwich? What can I rap? Old MacDonald had a farm.
What are you rapping?
We need 12 men here. where are you?
Let's be having you.
Yeah. Let's be having you.
So you write this gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. What are you grateful for today?
Okay. Today I'm grateful for the fact that I get to do this and I don't have to do this. So I've had a very long day in lots of different, like we was on Sky Sports News Live, being on Radio 1 Extra. Like we've been into all little places that little Molly probably would never have dreamed about going on and going to. And it's funny because I've been picked to kind of be like the spokesperson for like women. And I would not always say that my... who I am would always fit the mould for that, in terms of you may look towards someone else who's a bit more polished in certain areas or who doesn't show as much personality, do you know what I mean? But I feel like for me to be given that task, and I've smashed it flying colours. I haven't swore, only on today on this now, but no, I think I've given a great account of myself and sport and what I do and who I work for, so... I'm very grateful for that because there's a few they could have picked and they never. So
unreal. Unreal answers. It's going to be fun today. Now, Molly, before we move on to your early life, there's a big red button in front of you.
This is like Dexter's Laboratory, isn't it? When Dee Dee's like, don't press the red button. Dexter's like that.
I forgot about that show until you've just unlocked a memory there.
Dexter's Lab is great.
Did he have a big head?
No.
Well, he's tiny.
He was like this
ginger.
Big and Dee Dee was like that big.
Oh,
in Dexter's Laboratory.
Can you hit this button? What it will do, it will give you a question from one of our previous guests.
Oh my God, that's fucking awesome. I've just nearly got cramp in my leg. Woo.
Oh, wait, can you imagine if we got Paddy's out?
There we go.
Right.
Yeah, we might.
So one of our previous guests...
Oh, I thought he was about to throw... Do you know what that looks like? Well, he's definitely... I've been to a petrol station on the on the motorway. No, on the motorway, what are they called? Service stations. And you've got to brush your teeth.
Our guest yesterday said the same thing.
Who was your guest yesterday?
Bambino Becky, a YouTuber.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch you. No, I think. Right. I only watch...
Brilliant.
I only watch music.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay, no problem.
Whoever the guest was would have written their name down. Jack and I don't know any of the questions in there, so we have no idea what you're about to answer.
And because we don't know what it says, it could be cut.
Is it rank?
Is it bad?
No.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Okay.
The person.
Who?
Tom Skinner.
Oh, Bosch.
He's the Bosch boy, isn't
he? Yeah.
I think he follows me on the Insta as well.
What's he say?
Go on, Tom.
What's he said?
Oh. Can I read? Who knows? He's got good handwriting. Can you please give me your mother's maiden name, sore codes and account number, and transfer me 100k? Love, Tom Skinner. Bosh.
That's so Tom Skinner.
There we should have done.
What was that in program where that fella was like catfishing a woman, going, "Oh, I need you to send me this money because I'm in danger."
The Tinder swindler.
Yeah, that was kind of that kind of vibe.
We saw him
in Liverpool.
In Liverpool.
You're chatting.
I swear, we've spoken about it.
I swear. My goodness. Liverpool.
Heebie-jeebies. He was in there.
What? Second time you talked about heebie-jeebies.
Yeah,
you
love it.
Do you love heebies?
Yeah. Do you not?
I can't kind of get in there. It's like it's on top, isn't it? Like, mine and Paddy's coach is called Adam Ventry. He's the guy with the beard who just looks like he needs a wash. You love that one, Ben. No, he's got really lovely clothes and nice trainees, but he's forever in Hebe's on a Thursday, and we don't like see him till Saturday then when he's gone, because you're just stuck in that basement, aren't you?
Yeah.
I bet
you get swarmed when you're in there, right?
I couldn't do that anymore. Like, down the road, Poke Mahones is just up the road from there.
Right.
Like, I can kind of hide in the back there, but it's very hard to move.
Yeah, there definitely was.
Have you been to Teddy's?
Don't know what that is.
Have you been to Motel? Motel is a dive bar, right? That there's a live band in there where you can sing karaoke. Nevi sang Zombies, and as it really kicked in at the top, they let the cannons off and it went off. And I wasn't supposed to be out, and they put it on their Instagram and it went viral. And my fiance was like, "Where are you?" I was just like, just in the motel. And she's like, "Get home now." I was like, "Okay."
Now, Molly, is it true that Little Meatball played for Liverpool?
That's not a little lie, it's the truth, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
How long did you play for Liverpool for?
About 4 years. 3 seasons, I think, and like a pre-season.
What age?
16 to 20.
Oh, fucking hell. So not only could she knock us out, she'd absolutely skin us.
I'd skin you alive. Well, I might not. I was just a bit more like, if I could say what kind of player I was like, it would be nowhere near the level of Wayne Root. No, I don't know, we would say like a Roy Keane, like just trying to snap people off.
What position?
Centre-mid?
Centre-mid, left-mid or up front. I could just run. I just didn't stop. I was like, and wherever needed filling. I was so attacking-minded.
Right.
But sometimes, say if I played centre-mid, it'd be more like the... What's behind? Is it the 9 or the 10? Who would play back one?
Yeah, 9, yeah.
The 9 would more be the 9 than the 10.
Okay, and you played until you were 20, did you say?
And then I tore the ligaments in my ankle. I was like, oh, what am I doing now? Because in the summers, I'd go to America and I'd coach out there, not like the camps, like at a high standard. Mm. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do here? And my mum had always made me go to college. And she went, well, that's why you can go to uni now. And I was like, okay. Then I went to uni and then I fell into MMA on accident in uni. So it kind of... I got to travel the world with football and make some amazing friends, and then I fell into MMA by accident, and I've done that but tenfold, do you know what I mean?
What was it like? Because you're an Everton fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
So what was it like? I'd never wrap my head around that, because Jamie Carragher...
And Stephen Gerrard.
Yeah, it was the other... Gerrard?
Mm.
Was he?
I've never seen the pictures. There's like a picture of him with the FA Cup when he won it, and he's in a little...
No, like, I haven't.
It's in his autobiography.
Is it? I've not read it.
No, I haven't either, but... Made its way around the group chats.
What's it like for a blue to play for the Reds?
So what you notice in the women's league back then, there wasn't... The couple of best teams up north. It was like Leeds, like all the like Donny Bells and all of them was always like they was tough, horrible games. And then you came Liverpool and Everton. Liverpool was always nearly making it, but Everton was like top three, top two, top one. Like they was always in the mix with Arsenal.
Right.
It was like Arsenal, Everton was the number ones then, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't good enough at all to play at that level. I didn't start until I was like 14, 15.
Did you get scouted?
Yeah, I was like literally watching my cousin play in a tournament in Devon. And I was just like knocking the ball up, and I think one of the lads just heard all our Scouse accents, and he was like, "Oh, we're having trials come down," and then I did, and then I got signed. So I didn't even play, like I didn't even really play. Do you know what I mean? I was just like,
"You went in a team before that?"
Not at the time. No, I was just
fucking.
But you're just naturally good.
I would just say like game.
Yeah.
Like I was just game. Like when I was at uni, some of the lads went, "Will you play for the rugby team?" Because they need gears. I didn't know how to play, but I boxed and I played football. So like, it's just a bit of both, really, isn't it? So I just applied myself. I wasn't like, my mind didn't work academically and like, oh, I'm going to express myself through writing today. Do you know what I mean? It was like, oh, let's go for a run or let's like play. My skills transferred well to maybe strategy in sports.
Do you reckon we'd ever see you in Soccer Aid?
I would have a go. I'd do a better job than Leon. Like, he had an awful go in goal. It was sly they put him in goal because he can like at least have a go out on the pitch.
when you were younger and you were in these football teams and you're being tapped up by the rugby team and stuff like that, what's your earliest memory of just thinking, I fucking love a scrap? Because I remember when I was eight.
I didn't like fighting. Like,
you didn't like fighting?
I got jumped a couple of times as a kid. Like that's what it was like growing up. Like there was just like you just settled stuff fighting, and I just like walked in at the wrong time with a load of girls for scrapping, and I just ended up getting like beat up. To be fair,
well, yeah. What do you mean when you say jumps? What level does that mean?
Like I'd say like all the girls who was there literally just like was throwing ciggies at me, stones, booting me. I remember my mum had just bought me this new coat for Christmas, right? And she'd let me have it early. So it was like December because it was freezing. And yeah. I was allowed to go out with my mates. And I've gone out. And I was in a place called Bournemouth. And I was with my friend Tanya and Katie. Katie actually lives in London now. But we was walking and we walked past all these girls. And I knew the girls were following two other girls who were walking into the toilet. And I knew there was like 15 of them. I knew that he was just going to go and rag these girls. So for some stupid fucking reason, we've walked that way just to make sure that he was okay. Because the girls who'd walked down the stairs was one of my mum's mate's kids. And I thought, right, just look out for them. Mm-hmm. And then, this is going to sound mad, but I looked at them and one of them was weighing on the floor.
What?
This was how my they was drunk. It was like a Friday night, and they couldn't. They was in the toilet, but didn't go for a wee in the toilet.
And I went,
"Oh my god, that's dirty!" And then they looked, and I was like, "And then that was it." They just all came for me, and I'm getting ragged. He's getting pulled like my friend Katie walk. She's like booting them in the legs, and they're trying to get them off me. And I didn't even swing back. I was just like, I just froze. I was like, and I remember my mum saying, "Do not come home late." And where I'd been ragged everywhere, like me, I remember getting like booted in the throat and I couldn't swallow and I was like feeling all sorry for myself and someone had threw a ciggy and it burnt my coat and I thought, my mum's worked so hard for this coat, she's going to kill me. And then when I got in, I just didn't go out again then for a very long time and then I started going like boxing and that because I was like, ugh, and I never liked fighting. I just didn't like it. But
wow,
I think boxing and stuff and doing combat sports, you like you get conditioned to how to deal with that. Like still if I was out now and someone run at me, I wouldn't like probably punch them or just take them down or control the situation. But
yeah,
I don't think when you compete in what we do, it's not like, oh, we're going for a scrap. It's like, how am I going to outskill this person and win? And if you watch my style of fighting, you probably wouldn't think that's what's in my mind. But I'm like planting traps for them to walk into so I can do what I'm good at.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it is like chess with what we do, but you wouldn't think that.
So you go from that that toilet, that bathroom, when you're getting beat up or those girls are on you.
I was 16.
And you're scared. Mm. And then I heard you in an interview say that you went to the boxing club, but they wouldn't let you in because it was boys only. So you were shadow boxing outside the club.
Yeah.
What gave you the drive to do that? Because, like, I think when I was about 8, I had, like, a Conkers battle. And then I beat the guy and he punched me and I cried. Right? but the reason I bring that up is because then I just knew from that moment, I am not a fighter and will never want to do that. But you've taken that moment in the toilet and flipped it. So what gave you the spark?
Because I still don't think it's like fighting. Like, I know it's classed as fighting and I know that's it, but it's not like... There's I'm not going to get locked up, or I can pretend. Well, I suppose you could potentially kill someone, but it's strategy, and I don't feel like. Don't get me wrong. When you're in that warm up room and you're getting ready to go out and fight, there is no feeling like it. I'm like, right. Some days it proper gets you, like
fear or adrenaline,
fear of loss.
Right.
Not pain, not anything like that. Like, you know, when you've got a tough night at the office, say if you're fighting a big, big one, do you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, or UFC London and Drake puts X amount of million on you and you make best mate to win together. You're like, oh my God. Like, I felt fine in that morning. Yeah. And then my phone's going off at 10 and I looked and I was like, is that a joke? Like, my phone was like, bum, 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 and I was like,
how much did he bet on you?
2 point something mil on me and Paddy to win.
I remember seeing that.
Oh, I felt disgusting. Could you imagine? Because there's a difference between losing and then when you think, oh my God, what if I lose someone that much money?
That adds so much pressure.
That's a fiver for Drake though, isn't it?
Not even, who knows? He loves giving money away, doesn't he?
He gambles all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got that stake thing, isn't it?
Stake.com.
Yeah. Mm. So can you tell us that story about when you'd go to the boxing gym? Because I think that's quite an inspiring story. They wouldn't let you in.
Yeah, I just think... When you come from like an idealist or a traditional background, views are very much a certain kind of way. And what I would like to think is not that the coaches thought like you can't do it, but more of a place of like, I wouldn't want my little girl doing that. I wouldn't want them getting hurt. That's my little girl.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
you're not their little girl, are you? You're someone else.
Well, I kept showing up and I kept, because my cousins were in there and I just kept coming. And then one day they just let me in and, they didn't actually personally coach me. They just went, copy them. So I'm not sure if you ever noticed when you watch me fight, but switch all the time from orthodox to southpaw because I'm left-handed. So I should have been taught to fight this way, but I weren't. I was taught to fight this way because I was just told to copy everyone else.
Oh, wow.
So if I fight in this stance, my fighting style is completely opposite to this. So like this stance is like a bit more rough and ready. And actually when I go back to this is like point scoring and more accurate and like pop, pop. And then this is like, right, I need to mix the tempo up now. Say my opponent's starting to get a bit of momentum. I need to shift your momentum and break it. So I'll have some of that. And then when they're on the back foot, switch again and get them at the end of my range. And
so you're more comfortable on what would be your weaker hand. Is that right? Or
supposedly,
not?
But you can be ambidextrous. Like, I'm sure you can text with this hand and text with that hand.
Yeah, it's about all I can do. Yeah.
Do you think learning in that strange way makes you better now because you can switch between the two?
Yeah, I think it confused me for a long time. Like, just couldn't get stuff off this way. And like, my balance, my footwork's always been a positive part of what I can do, but I'd just be a little bit ski with sometimes this way. And then in boxing, you're taught you can never switch. Don't switch, because if you switch and don't throw, you're static, and that's when that person will come and hit you. So you have to like punch on the move and switch on the move, and if you switch back, punch and like be active. And I was always good with that, but it was just not in amateur boxing, and because it was quite an older mentality, it was like, no, just do what everyone else does. So I'm like, okay. And then when it came to MMA, the space was a little bit more like, oh, that's cool. Why'd you do that? Do you know, because it's everyone else's discipline and we're all just learning. Like, say our gym's full of so many different disciplines. Sunday, Paul will see like one of the lads, Connor, do a certain karate kick. He goes, teach me that. Why'd you do that? And then Ellis will go, right, let's throw it into this combination. Say if you're fighting someone who's fighting like this style, this is when this kick's going to work. Right, Molly's really, really small. Like I say, she's got to interrupt their rhythm. So sometimes, like, I'll just push them like push them to get the bounce back off the cage, and then I can catch them. And it's like putting everyone's blend into the mix. So
do you think what was your motivation from going to boxing to MMA?
When the weight categories were added for the Olympic Games, mine wasn't added. So I was 56 kilos. So it was like 51, 61, 73. And I was sitting in the middle and I couldn't go that light and it was too small for the other one. So,
oh, fair. So do you think any boxer, any good boxer could transition to MMA?
Well, I boxed first, so I'd done it, do you know what I mean? But yeah. You look at Clarissa Shields, she's 2-1 now, I think. Mm-hmm. She's done better than me in her last fight. I tapped to the armbar, she never. Her arm was near snapping and gave her a juice. She's mouth almighty, but she puts her money where her mouth is.
Yeah.
Savannah Marshall's doing the same. Big Francis Ngannou swapped the other way to lead you into the next one, if he's going to ask that question today.
You're better at this than us as well.
This is podcast number 4 today, guys.
What did you think of that fight, Ngannou Fury? It shocked a lot of people, didn't it? Everyone had written Ngannou off.
I think just the whole influence of boxing thing for me, I just would never entertain it. Mm-hmm. And then when I seen that, I was like, oh my God. And then how well he dealt with Fury, I think the whole world shocked. Like, I'm not sure if Tyson's nose was broke or what in that fight, but he kept, like, he had this tick on his nose. I was thinking, you've took a shot there and I don't think you've ever been hit. Like, he was just moved. I think he was shocked at what he was up against and he was trying to figure it out on the spot, and sometimes you don't have enough time to figure it out. And I don't think the score represented fairly the bout.
Do you think he was robbed?
You can't leave it into the hands of the judges, because if you do, that's what happens. That's what I'm saying.
Like we've said before, we spoke to Paddy about this as well, we're not like, we've not watched too much UFC. Mm-hmm.
Or MMA, but
In boxing, there's obviously a lot of controversy at the moment around the scoring and stuff, but it doesn't seem to be the same in MMA. Is that fair?
I'd say that's fair. Yeah. I think there's certain... When you go to America, certain states don't always have an MMA commission.
Right.
And when that's the case, you tend to stay away from them states. You stay with California or Nevada or New York. But some states... is very boxing heavy commission that they use. Mm-hmm. And they are, you'll know that if you're smart, you're having boxing people kind of dictate what. So you'd think, if I'm going to fight here, maybe strike a little bit more than take down, because they might not be as educated to it all.
Oh, really?
Well, if you use common sense, do you know what I mean? But I just think every judge has their own take on their scoring. So you're given the outline and it's what's the thing called? Sorry, it's been a long day. Significant strikes and damage.
Okay.
Then control. And I ask, do you know if I know who's going to be on the show? So there's a few English guys who do the UFC, and when I see them at smaller shows, I ask them, what are you looking for? Because every couple of months or years, you can see the style of fighting changes, so the scoring will change.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, what are you looking for? Because normally, say, the round would be really even, and then one person will just do a takedown at the end of the round and go, oh, we give it to him because he got the takedown.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And whereas now, say you're used to a fighting, it's even, and you take him down.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be even.
But he pops straight back up, so he's done no damage on the floor. That means fuck all, and it looks worse for you because you didn't do anything on it. So I was basically saying to the ref and the judges, like, what would you like to see? And he was like, whoever's closest to finishing the fight in that round is going to win that round for me. And I was that's all I need to know then. So when you... The person who'd be closest to finishing the round is who rocks the person the most in that, or gives the cleanest shot, or when you're on the floor, are you closest for a submission finish, or is your control time, are you being that active on the top, touching and waking for submissions, then then you are closer to winning the fight than the person who's on the bottom who's just defending.
Does that make it harder then for fighters who can't adapt their style? Like, because obviously some have, like, they're experts in certain grapples.
If you look, not my last fight, but the two fights before that, when I fought girls who were specifically one-track minded, only going to do one thing, I really struggled with it because they was just too big for me. And then their style... I was like, they was my kryptonite, but to them, I was like, they're red panty night kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yes,
right,
I can take this off you today. But then, like you say, you change certain bits. Like, I just dropped the weight, and then that negated anyone who's got that. That'll negate that for them. But it just means it's a lot harder for me for fight competence.
I think anyone, even sort of novices of MMA like us, I think anyone who knows you and knows your name will know the two spin and elbow knockouts. Because researching you, I went onto the UFC YouTube channel and I watched a video that was called Top 10 Women's Flyweight Knockouts. You're two of them, aren't you?
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Did you not know
that? No. Because that's like, you can't live for that, do you know what I mean? Like, if I lived for all that shit, you just, like, you think you're sorting you that you're not, do you know what I mean? And you get, with what we do, we can't believe that we're like a god, because you get humbled every day on the mat when you do jiu-jitsu.
It's pretty fucking cool though, isn't it?
Well, when I'm done, I'll smell the roses, right? Do you know what I mean? But I'm not done yet. I haven't completed I'm not a UFC world champion, so that's a nice statistic, but it's not paying me bills. Do you know what I mean?
Is that your signature? This is going to sound like such an amateur question, but is that like your signature thing? Like, is that,
I just think no one else can do it, and I could.
How do you do it?
So, do you ever watch football? It's like, do you know when Ronaldo just used to do the double step over?
Yeah.
Dick, Cruyff.
Cruyff, turn.
Johan Cruyff.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own little things that they like to do. And that's just mine. And the reason being, how it came to is, everyone always has a larger reach than what I do. It's like, we're there. How can I get to you faster than just coming in a straight line and getting hit? And it was like the velocity, speed and power I can generate from spinning into you, and how much distance I can cover, as long as I do it right.
Yeah.
It took, you watch every single one of my fights in the UFC, every single one I've ever had, I've thrown a spinning back elbow, and it was only them two fights where they finally connected, and it was like, good night, Fiona. And then even in the last fight I had, I think I still threw one. It just didn't.
Because you, when you do it, I'm so amateur when I talk about it, but when you do it, you're doing it to get out of, like, trouble, aren't you?
No, so the first time I threw it was like a defensive shot, like she clinched me.
Yeah.
And I was in the space to then know that was there. And then the fight after, I was offensive with it. Like, I pushed her and ran after her. Like, I pushed her onto the cage. And from years of boxing, you know, like, say if you're on the back foot, you can lean on the ropes and bounce back with the time. And so I thought, I can push you, and at the same time you're spinning, coming back, I'm going to spin into you. And that's what I've done.
Can you teach me how to do it?
No. No.
I wouldn't want to see you do it.
No.
Could you do it on Stevie?
No. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
It looks fucking sick.
It must be so hard to defend as well, because if you're coming straight at someone, they know what's happening. But as soon as you start spinning, you don't know where
best
it's
way
gonna
to
be
defend
kick,
it. I reckon it's just to say I'm not.
Go underneath.
Not doing it.
Just
go underneath.
Go underneath.
Don't tell him that.
No, it's a well-known thing. Like, if you throw it,
<Don't tell him laughs>
you've got different ranges,
right?
So in our gym, we say red, amber, green. Like, in the red zone, I would throw a spin and elbow. In the amber zone, a spin and back fist, and in the green zone, a spin and back kick. So the mechanics and the body mechanics is all quite the same, but it depends on how far away you are and what kind of position that we're in. And I just feel like, when we're talking about MMA, and I'm saying it's four Olympic disciplines, it takes 10,000 hours to understand fully each different one. And I just think it would take that long for you really to understand. It would take 40,000 hours for you to really understand the mechanics of movement and breaking down an opponent and knowing when to throw each one.
Because you're known for it now, though, do you think people who are coming up against you, that they know that, and it's going to be harder for you to get one in the future?
No, because I don't. If you look at me last fight, I won by snapping the girl's arm.
Right.
So, I can do it all now. I just had to stop being fat. Just had to go on a diet.
Why do people like fighting? Because fighters are different breeds, aren't they?
Well, I have told you from the beginning, I don't like fighting. I like competing. I like competing. To win.
Okay, so what is it? Okay, then. So what elements of it do you enjoy the most?
For me, it's self-expression through movement. So me doing that move takes so much to be that good and to do that and to have the cojones to go, I'm gonna go here. Do you know what I mean? Like, you said person wouldn't always be able to do that. They'll just stick to A and B, A and B. And I'm like, A, Z, A. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think you watch Paddy and his like expression will come through a flying triangle. Mine's a spinning elbow. Someone's a flying knee. I also find like doing big takedowns, like wrestling, like getting under their hips, lifting them up, feet off the floor. I'm like, And then when you hear the crowd go, I've done a couple of these takedowns where like I'm flipping them, right? And then when I hit the floor and the crowd go wild, I've gone like, you wasn't expecting that from me. Do you know what I mean?
So, it's an art, isn't it? It's
absolutely. Well, it's martial arts, like Bruce Lee says it best. Do you know what I mean? And honestly, it's just like a blend of combat to a blend of combat sports and making it all come together.
I heard you say once that every fight you have, you leave a little bit of your soul in there.
100% believe that.
What does that mean?
I think you have to go to some mad place in that fight camp. Mm-hmm. You have to take yourself past the point of what you can. Like your team sometimes has to push you past the point of what you're capable of going to. And when you do, I just feel like you've lost a little bit of yourself there. And not in a bad way, but like you've given a bit of yourself, should I say, to get that achievement and that outcome.
Right.
And say, I had two fights where I lost consecutively to the same move and I lost so much of who I was like mentally, but I also gained so much in terms of knowledge of fighting in them camps just because the outcomes wasn't what I wanted. The knowledge I was able to gain and then implement in that last fight, that was my moment to let it all come to fruition then.
You say that you leave something with every fight. Mm. How long does it take to regain it after a fight? Like, are you just straight back to normal? It's over?
No. So you normally get dependent. So I would say I get post-fight blues, like bad. So you hear about it with Olympians, like you've trained 4 years or your whole life for that one moment.
That's the arrival fallacy, isn't it? They call it when,
when it's done, you're like, and I imagine like musicians have it after the big world tour. And then it's like, wow, what is next here? The mundane things in life is what I love to do. Like every morning I'll put my music on, journal or meditate, put my incense on, walk the dogs around the block, make a coffee, talk to Ellis. Like that is happiness for me. But sometimes I want to do that, but she's not there because she's in work. So then I'm sat on my own. I'm like, oh, this is shit. Like 3 days ago, we're just won by an armbar and I was like the talk of the town and now it's gone back to this. But if your whole identity relies on if you've won or lost, I suppose it all comes down to that. But like after this fight, I was really low and it was the best fight that I'd ever had. And I was just like, oh no, I wanted to be elated. But I think what it was just like the pressure just came off. I had the weight of the world on my shoulders because if I lost that, lads, I was like done. I was like, I'm going to boxing. This is me.
Sorry if it's a silly question, but if you win a fight and you are the talk of the town, do you feel that the public perception of you changes if you lose a fight?
Yeah and no. I think it would imagine to be how you lost. Like I lost one fight in Abu Dhabi and I left it all in there.
Yeah.
And I could hold my head up high. Like me and this girl went for it. Like nose was broke, face was everywhere. Like you can have respect for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I lost them other two fights, both fights didn't even last 4 minutes. So when I sat there and I was like, I've made more money in 4 minutes in them two fights than I have my whole life.
Right.
I was like, well done, Mol. In one sense, I was trying to see a silver lining.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was just like, oh no. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So the pressure that you kind of put on yourself to perform is like massive. But it, like I say, lads, I knew like going into that fight, if we'd made this claim that the reason for us losing, and I say us because we win together, we lose together, was because I was outsized. If I hadn't won, then it's like I'm a fraud. I was lying to everyone. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So we got offered lots of fights before that fight, all our flyweight still. I was like, no, like we're doing this. Yeah. Like, because they was like, are you sure? Like, because it was going to be a big cut. Do you know what I mean? It was going to be like 30 odd pounds, 33 pounds I lost from depressed mode of accepting the fight until fight night. But fight week, or the night before the fight, I only sweat 2 pounds off, which is unbelievably safe.
Fucking hell. Do you feel physical pain when you're in there?
I'm not sure if you've ever seen when I broke my orbital bone. I fought for 4 minutes with like a shattered eye. That was like, she was like poking me in the eye, near me in the face, and I couldn't see. And I was literally thinking, if I lose here, that's me cut. So I just wasn't having it. So I just went through it. That's like, I watched something yesterday where that some lad like stood on a splinter and he wouldn't fight. And like the way the world's gone, we've just thought he's like stood on major glass and like it was really bad because he got disqualified. I watched it back, it was a splinter and I was half like, oh, it was a very early stoppage, I think, but I was thinking, yeah, just splinter, come on, mate.
Yeah, that would be me, though.
No, it wouldn't. You look at some of the lads and some of the women. Have you ever seen that fight with Joanna Jędrzejczyk? She looks like a space invader. Like them
crisps. Oh, yeah, the swelling.
Her head was like that.
What?
I remember seeing it recently. There's like this image of how bad the swelling on the head is from fucking.
She was just getting
through
punched
it.
There. She wasn't getting punched
in the fight, it's looking like this, is it?
Can I show you?
Yeah, it's quite bad. But she just carried on fighting, didn't she?
She was like, whatever.
But is it something you're feeling the pain when you're in the fight, or is
so
it after?
It depends. Like when I got armbarred or commorded, like my shoulder popped out of the first one in New York, and then that last one, I had like a partial tear in like, I don't know what joint that is and what ligament that is.
Yeah.
And like I felt it, like what I'd done to that girl, I thought like, didn't bend like that way for it to like hyperextend, like bent to the side, so it completely just went.
Oh wow.
And I remember one fight, she booted me in the leg and me quad like kind of like separated off me bone, and me leg after the fight, I was just like, oh, that took weeks to recover from. Weeks.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
But it's mad that you can carry on fighting through some of the stuff. Like,
what you think, like, even from, I'm sorry to like sound like Brian Cox here, but when you're me, like when you're a sperm going into the egg, like how many million percent are you not supposed to get there?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
From like the, from conception, mm-hmm. all we know how to fight, all we have to do is to fight, to live, to breathe, to eat, to all that. So it's in our disposition to be that
Is
way.
It though? Do you think anyone could learn to be tough and a fighter? Do you think it's within anyone?
A person who's depressed, who is suicidal, takes a breath, gets in the shower, goes to the shop, buys some food, comes home, eats it, and lives through that day. Well, that's exactly the same as what I'm doing, but in context, I'm relative to them. Mm. So yeah, anyone can do that. It's still fighting, but it's not.
So everyone's fighting, just sometimes not
a different
physically,
battle. Yeah,
yeah, in battle.
Yeah.
Can I see this alien head person? Yeah.
What a way to ask.
You just put a very articulate statement out there. I'm like, show me the alien head. Why do they call you Meatball?
I used to work at Subway.
Such a good reason.
I love that. What's your go-to Subway order?
Don't go anymore.
But when you did?
What do I put in for this head? Swollen head.
Oh, you've got some on the dock here, Fee. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. I
couldn't
do that.
Crazy.
I couldn't
do
that.
Can you Google on there now? Google Molly McCann,
Yeah, let's do it.
You remember that, Niamh? Was you there? So she was there, right? I thought I went and got a CT scan and they was like, yeah, everything's fine. So we're all in the hotel. I'm drinking bottles of vodka without even like putting a mixer in it, and then it was like 10 o'clock and like the doctor's like come in from the UFC and gone, no, she's having surgery tomorrow, she's got a broken orbital, my eye is just crying blood. Yeah,
what the hell.
That was pre-Botox as well.
It looks like when, you know them frogs? It's like when the frogs get the... You don't know the frogs?
Yeah.
It's you like mean the throats when they...
It's not all frogs.
Is that all frogs? Or toads.
Toads.
When they do that, it looks like that. But
and then they lick them and get off the res. Yeah, you know all about that, don't you?
She knows you well.
Yeah. Norwich for you.
How mad that can happen and the human body can just...
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you had surgery.
So I had an operation the next day. I got cleared. Imagine I had a broken orbital there. I got cleared to fight 2 weeks after that, like it was mended. And then I fought 6 weeks after that in South Carolina and won again.
Fucking hell. You know, an animal.
Wolverine style. I was buzzing because I was the first English woman to win in the UFC. I was just like that, yes.
Fucking hell. Can we quickly go back to Subway?
Yeah.
I've heard you on another podcast talk about quite an intense story. Mm-hmm. I'd already written down the question, tell me some of the mad things that you saw at Subway. Mm. But you know the story I'm talking about. You saved a woman's life. Is this true?
Yeah, I don't say it like that, like right. Because I just don't want to sound like a big head. But I used to work the night shift so that I could train and go to uni in the day. And one Thursday night or Friday night, it could be a Saturday, I can't really remember. This woman's just come in and she's just, it was like 3-4 in the morning, she could not stand up and she was swaying and she's like trying to like look at how much money she's got in a bag and she's looking at the thing. And then this fella's like just walked over and got his arm around it. And I'm cleaning and trying to get on top of the shift for the next person to come in because I'd hate to walk into a shit shift. Mm-hmm. And he was just... I just remember we kind of had a bit of back and forth because she was trying to make an order and he was like proper involved and like trying to like get it to kind of go with him. And I just went, hey mate, what's your name? And he just went like, and he was like, what, who are you? The police and all that. I was like, no. And he was like, eat your little grass and all that. And I was like, what are you going on about, lads? I said, what's your name? And then he started abusing me and we was kind of getting into it for a little bit. And then,
what, verbals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just weren't having it. Like, and then I went to Samira, the girl I was working on shift with. I can't remember what happened. But I can't remember if she went and rang the police or what. Mm-hmm. But he went outside and made a phone call and like I could just tell like people was on the way and I was like, oh. So anyway, me and him ended up having it because he was trying to like rag it out and I was just like not having it.
And
so,
you knew that weren't her boyfriend?
I just knew. Yeah. I just knew, yeah. You know what I mean? And the way he was reacting. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having a fucking fight with him outside anyway. And then the police came and loads of cars came outside and they was all, you could just tell they was all together. And the police ended up catching him, nicking him down the road and they came in and they was trying to take a statement and she couldn't even speak. Basically what he had said is the people in the car had come to lift her and to take her, like human trafficker. And they had like date rape and they was putting it in everyone's drinks, like planting them in all the drinks. And then they was all sitting off waiting for them to walk down these routes now. And they're going to go for a taxi, they're going to get food or they're get the train home.
Fuck.
So they had done that. And I forget this girl's name, right? But I'll never forget that when she realised and she was coming round to what was happening, she was fuming because the police was there and she was like... And then she couldn't, I think it was like freaking her out and that. And she just kind of legged it and went to, just got the train back. She was from Wales. And I had to go make a statement. I was kind of not really speaking that much about what was going on. Cause I was like, I don't really want to be here. And the busy I was talking to were training our gym. And he was like, he basically just said to me, he's not from here. He's an illegal immigrant. He's in a ring of... like human trafficking and fuck. I think he got deported after that and he was like, he's got cocaine in his system, he's drunk, he's got weed in his system, this, that and the other. And I was like, all right, I'm going home then, I'm fucked and I've got to go back there, I've got to work again tomorrow, do you know what I mean? It was a proper ordeal because I was like 22 at the time. I was like running the shop at the night time and the doorman had left because there's like 1 hour.
Yeah.
And it's all come back to me now. There was like a 1 hour changeover where it must have been like 5 to 6 where they would go. And then we would shut 6 till 7 just to get the shop up and then it'd be open again from 7. So it must have been just like 10 to 6 just before. So the security guys just got off early, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, no, mate, it's all right, go on, everything's fine. Because you're not thinking anything's going to go from then, because the clubs would shut at six, so you'd shut for that hour so you wouldn't get the major, like, records coming in, because it's just like, like, we've had people spit at us, order a cup of tea, throw the tea at us, like, just people who were, like, twisted around the bend just coming in being idiots, do you know what I mean? Like, after nights out, if you're sober and actually go past Mackey's and look at the state, like, that was obviously, like, me back in the day at uni, but, like, you look at the state that people are getting
in. That was last night.
Can you imagine, like, the luck of someone going into Subway, picking on, like, a 22-year-old girl in there, and it turns out to be the meatball?
No.
No. Molly, before we let you go, you are probably one of the most Scouse people we've ever had the pleasure of having on this podcast.
Yeah.
We've had Adam Rowe on, who was...
I was going to say, you look like him in some of them pictures up there.
I look like who?
No, you look like him.
It wasn't going to be you.
Well, you haven't got the eye, but you know what I mean? We call that
he's
UFC
got the
eye. Yeah. We call it MMA eye. I went on his podcast with him and that, and we was joking, because he was like talking about my eye, and I was like... You got the same, and he was laughing. And said, I was just born with MMAI, UFCI.
Now, we stumbled upon an article called 54 Things You Only Know If You're From Liverpool.
Okay.
I've picked out 8 of them today.
Okay.
And I just want you to explain them to us a little bit.
Okay.
Adam actually explained this one to us. We've got a good grasp of this one now, but I want to hear your interpretation. Are we wolves?
No, but yeah.
He's not explained anything.
So, a woolly bach is someone who would normally be from Wales or over the water, because they'd be someone who, when they sheared the sheep, they put the wool on the back to carry it. But we call anyone who's not a Scouser a wool. So, yeah and no.
How would you, from a distance, can you spot?
They normally wear, like, one of them jack, like, you know, like,
he's only impressed. You're telling
now,
you know,
Adam Rowe would wear something like that.
Oh, he's not a wool, is he? Is he a wool?
No, not at all, but he would wear something like that. Like,
I'm trying to fit in. That's what I'm going for.
Like, how can I say it? So, I think there's like Dublin, Newcastle, Liverpool, Essex. We all have a very, like, we're very particular. Anyone who kind of isn't like that, like,
do you mean like you can tell where someone's from?
100%.
Like, if they're Geordie.
So when I was in Subway, we used to play a game. Probably shouldn't be saying this, but when people would walk in, we just guessed straight away where they was from and what they'd order. And I could just, honestly, what they'd order. Like,
this is so something.
Yeah, I just look at I'd look at someone and I go, veggie patty. Like, I'm not going to try and offend someone, but I'm not generalising, but I suppose, like, do you know, like, a vegan, you could maybe stereotype a vegan, you could stereotype a Scouser.
Yeah.
We would stereotype when people were walking in.
What do you think we'd order?
Yeah, come on. This is content.
I don't know if you'd have, like, a BMT or, like, a meatball.
Yeah,
BMT.
and what's the thought process behind that stereotype?
Herb and cheese, and I'm only went hearty Italian or herb and cheese.
Hearty Italian.
Yeah.
You've still got it.
Don't test me, bitch.
Get back to Subway. You're perfect.
You could just start making it before they even come in.
I know. Yeah. My memory is
what colour socks do you think I'm wearing?
White.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it true that this is another
Wolves
one?
Wolves wear white socks.
Yeah.
Sorry, Niamh. I looked at you and wasn't going to say it, and then I was going to say it. But that's an Irish thing. All Irish people wear white socks as well.
Do they?
Mm.
Would you ever wear white socks?
So, we've got the rule. If you've got white shoes on.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, there's a bruise.
Her eye has literally been held by her
it's
head.
These
she's
kinds
like,
of like,
oh, you're wearing white socks.
No Lululemons, but they're hidden, you can't see them.
Oh, okay. Is that the rule?
So it's fine.
Lad, I'm not going to wear black socks with white, am I?
I don't know. You make your own rules.
No, we don't.
And then what's this about?
The People's Republic of Liverpool, isn't it? What's this?
Certain brands are for out of towners. Is that true?
Yeah.
What brands?
Like Puma, Adidas. I don't, Scousers maybe wear Sambas or like Gazelle every now and then, but that's about it. Scousers would wear walking clothes, but like a Patagonia, an Arc'teryx, or like a North Face. But then I feel like if you go to Manchester, they would wear Burgos.
Right.
Like Scousers wouldn't really wear... Well, I suppose they would, but, like, maybe not so much.
What do we have in Norwich?
Oh, like Carhartt or like...
You love Carhartt.
Dickies or Dixie. What is
this is your clothes. He loves Carhartt
yeah,
or Dickies.
That's a proper wool, yeah. I'm only messing.
No, but no, I love it. I can't believe how accurate you are. You've got my Subway, you've got my clothes.
You don't even need them glasses, do you? No. Wearing them.
He did for a long time.
Yeah, I did. I did.
You can't kid a kid. That's like, no, it's just, we're on it because we try and like push the book. Don't, like, we try and push the envelope of everything.
Who's the man with the multicoloured suit?
Is this like a trick question or?
No, it
no,
is.
No,
within
everyone
knows
know.
Him.
He's dead now, no?
Oh, is he?
Was he the man who used to sing with like a fake microphone on a microphone?
Yeah.
So he used to cut out. His name was Albert or something like that. And he used to go, this is exactly it. We're going to man in an air. And he'd just be playing thin air. And then, do you remember when Guitar Hero came out?
Yeah.
Someone gave him one of them. So then he had like a fake guitar. And then I think he finished with a karaoke machine, but God bless him, he passed away last year.
Oh, yeah. We have Puppet Man in Norwich, and he has these two puppets, and he's...
But they're like socks.
Yeah.
Is he...
No, maybe not.
It's like the streets as... He's been on the streets for a while.
Yeah, he's been on the streets. But people give him money and stuff. Yeah. That's how he lives.
Do people do that knowledge? I don't think rich people like to part with the money. Unless they're avoiding tax.
She does know you.
She hates apparently, all Scousers have a story about the Mayflower. What does that mean?
I think if every Scouser was only drinking at the end of a night, you end up in a certain Chinese called the Mayflower. And when you go in there, everyone can't even speak or say. It's like the McDonald's story, yeah. But like everyone's absolutely keen and like chicken and sweet corn soup with some prawn crackers because you're starving waiting.
Yeah.
And then you'd normally just say it's a very, I feel like everyone would kind of get the same, like a sweet and sour chicken, a scrip, a chili, shredded beef,
yeah.
Rice, chips, curry sauce, and then maybe... Well, most definitely a portion of shumai's, but it just depends if they're salt and pepper or not.
I love Liverpool.
That sounds lovely.
We don't even have a Subway that's open that late, let alone a
full
Chinese.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
God.
Is there... apparently, there's someone called the Shush Woman.
I'm new to this.
Okay.
Is she like a... Do you remember when you
was
like...
It's the shop, the Shush Shop. Shush. No?
Shush.
I don't know what
Lush.
I'm
no. The soap shop?
No, it's the shop. It says shush, and then there's a woman in there.
Shoe? Is it shoe?
Well, it's a shoe.
Might be shoe, I don't know.
Shoe.
What, Nabsy's red salt makes everything taste better?
Yeah, they've just robbed the Nando's one, but I love Nabsy's at the end of my road. And me and Paddy's done a chicken shop date with Amelia in there.
I saw that, yeah. Okay, cool. And then the last one.
Lecky legs. What does that mean?
Oh, God. So, there's a viral video of he's an Evertonian as well. And say if he's been on the marching powder and the ale,
right.
Has this dance where he's just his legs, he's like, bop, 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 like just dancing, like electric legs, lecky legs.
In
Liverpool, we abbreviate things in our lingo. Mm-hmm. Lecky is electric. And because he's dancing that fast, you would say Lecky Legs. But it's one person, it's his nickname.
Okay.
Google Lecky, YouTube Lecky Legs.
Okay. I'll do it later because I don't want to waste any more of your time. Molly, this has been fun.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I've loved it. Nice. Thank you so much.
You just try an E.T.
phone.
Are we doing it? My fingers are all right.
Do you seriously think we're a couple of posh twats?
Do I sound posh?
No, you're not posh.
Thanks. That's the biggest compliment ever.
So when you call us posh the whole way,
why did you add twats to it?
Well, you can't be posh and not be a twat, can you?
Yeah.
Is it true your cousins were Katie Taylor? Is that true? That's fucking cool, isn't it? Are Everton going to stay up this season? I'm just going to hitting you with some hard questions at the end.
I know, watch me hit your little finger in a minute. Oh, sorry, whack. Over 6 months down the Swanee for you.
What's coming up for you this year, both inside and out? I won't say octagon because you mugged Gary Neville off for saying that, so I'll say the cage.
Oh, that's exactly what it's called. Didn't he say the cage? I said it's the octagon.
Other way round.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Trademarked. Octagon's trademarked. What was I going to say? Oh, well, I'll probably be fighting next time the UFC comes to England. Should be in the summer. Other than that, just...
You got your show with Paddy?
Oh, shit, yeah. That comes out in July.
it's been a long day for you.
Yeah, it has, yeah. me gin company, me gin brand, Pimp Gin, they will be going out properly distributed throughout the country, like, in the summer. It's been, like, a slow slog because it's a summer drink. Mm-hmm. So we've put everything in place in winter, spring for it to just go ching.
Smashing it.
Yeah, I just won't be able to drink it because I'll be in fight camp, but...
We can drink it.
There you go. I'll
send us some. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Thank
posh people, like... never paying for anything.
Right. Well, we could always give this as an opportunity for Molly to get you back for such stupid things. When Bisping was on and when Paddy was on.
Yeah, well, this is how I was going to ask to end the episode. We've had Bisping on, we've had Paddy on. And both of them have got me in a rear naked chokehold. Is that the correct terminology?
Yeah, but do you know anyone who doesn't do MMA calls it a chokehold, where I would just call it a choke?
Yeah, a choke. Got me in a choke. So I think it would only be fair... as you're our third fighter we've had on, if you could please get Stevie in a choke.
I could, but do you know what I'd do? Just because we've had a laugh, I'll do a fun war with you if you want.
What are you letting him get away from?
Look at his shirt. He's having a bad day as it is.
I kind of want you to choke me out now.
Could you choke him out?
No, because the boss lady's here. She would never let me.
Okay, have a fun war.
I'm going to lose this.
This has been Jack Mate's Happy Hour podcast. With me, Jack, mate. 7, 8, try and keep Stevie White.
My hands are clammy. I apologize. And,
oh, you're toying with him. And the winner of the Thumb War and one of the toughest women in the world, Molly Meeple McCann. Well, thanks so much.
At least in this room.
Cheers. See you in a few days. Thank you, Molly.
No problem.
That was fun. Cheers.
I made it up to be really formal all day.
Jack Makes Happy Hour.